Assumable versus portable mortgages. Will Trump's plan unlock housing inventory? Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700, better known as MG the Mortgage Guy. We are live. We are blessed. Thank God for another day. Welcome back to the channel. Hit the bell. Subscribe. Share this with 10 people. And if you are new here, type first time in the chat. So Trump administration is back at it again. It seems like the housing affordability crisis is definitely talk of the town this week and definitely inside of Trump's administration. They posted today, we are actively evaluating portable mortgages. They're also looking into assumable mortgages. I mean, this is about to get interesting, to say the least. This is about to get interesting. So first of all, let's talk about assumable mortgages. First things first, assumable mortgages. Right now, FHA loans are assumable, which basically means, and everybody type in chat, assumable. Type in chat, assumable. And shout out with the super chats out here early, right? Galaxy Shop, alive and blessed. My guy, if you know, the GOAT. All right, I appreciate the super chat. All super chats are welcomed. Please and thank you. Okay, we appreciate the support. But yeah, so type in chat, assumable, y'all. Type in chat, assumable. I don't know why my stream is not working to go into Instagram, but y'all type assumable in chat, right? Assumable mortgages when you, the buyer, can assume the current owner's mortgage. Right now, you can only do that with FHA loans. You cannot do that with conventional mortgages, Fannie nor Freddie Mac. You cannot do it with these loans, right? So you take over the person's current mortgage, their current rate, their current term. You have to qualify for that mortgage with the lender that they are currently paying their mortgage to, right? It doesn't skip the underwriting process. You still have to qualify for it. But if there's a gap between the sales price and that mortgage, then you, the buyer, have to come up with that money, either cash, second mortgage, what have you. So, for example, if you have an assumable mortgage at $250,000, and you're buying a house for $500,000, there's a $250,000 gap, right? The sellers is going to want their money. So you have to find the money, that $250,000. Like I said, it could be part of your cash. It could be down payment. You can probably get some seller financing. There's many ways around it, right? So the assumable mortgage, again, you can't do it on Fannie and Freddie, which honestly, my personal opinion, if you are going to do assumable mortgages, I think it makes sense for Fannie and Freddie to allow people to assume mortgages. I think this would be great because right now, like I said a couple times already, you can only do it with FHA. And if you can do it with Fannie and Freddie loans, I think that would open up more opportunities for buyers, but also for sellers as well. So it could help inventory slightly. I don't know by how much, but I think it could definitely help a little bit. Now, let's get to the big thing. Pause. Portable mortgages. Everybody type in chat portable. Type in chat portable. Type in chat portable. I don't know why this thing is not going live. Let me just exit out of this because it's just not. For some reason, IG is just not cooperating with me right now. Let's just exit out of that. Type in chat portable. We're just keeping YouTube right now. Type in chat. No, portable. Yeah, portable, portable, portable. Type in chat portable. So, for those of you who don't know, a portable mortgage lets you take your existing mortgage, same rate, same term, same balance, and transfer it to a new property when you move. So you get to keep that 3%, 2.5%, 4%, 3.5%, whatever it is. you're just switching houses. You keep your interest rate, your remaining term, your payment structure, your existing lender and servicer, right? The only thing that changes is the house, aka the collateral. Now, how this portable mortgage works in a couple different countries right now that are currently using portable mortgage, and it's very common in Canada, United Kingdom, Australia, New Zealand, right? But the key factor of this is you have to sell your home and your mortgage does not get paid off automatically when you sell your home. Now, you have to ask your lender, is it portable to another house, right? And again, this is how it works in other countries. It's not here in America right now. They're just floating the idea because there's a lot of things that will have to take place, which I'm going to discuss in order for this to happen, right? But in other countries who use portable mortgage, they have to re-underwrite your income, your debt, your credit, the new property value, the same way that you do in a traditional mortgage. And if it's approved, the mortgage legally transfers over to the new property. The lien switches from house A to house B. If the new house costs more, you have to take a second mortgage or a top-up loan, right? So if your mortgage balance is, let's just say, $400,000 and you're buying a house that's $500,000, you need to get a new loan of $400,000 to match that sale price. Kind of the same way that I just explained with the assumed mortgage, right? So your old rate in terms transfers over to the new house with the current interest rate. Now, most countries who offer this portable feature, they require the sale and the purchase to happen within a 30 to 90 day time frame. Now, as a homeowner, how does this benefit you? It keeps you locked into that low interest rate. So a lot of us in America, including myself, have rates below 3% in the low to mid twos, high twos. I am one of those people, thank God, right? So it removes that locked-in effect and freezes those buyers who want to move up right now. They're not trying to move up. They're not putting them houses on the market because, look, they don't want to lose that low interest rate. I don't blame you. If I had to sell my house right now, I'd be pissed off because I would know I had to go on a higher rate, but that's another story for a different day, right? So now this could unlock that frozen market of move-up buyers. They don't have to refinance or get new financing at those higher rates on that first mortgage that they currently have. They don't lose the thousands of interest that they already paid, right? So this could potentially put more inventory on the market for people who want to trade up or trade down, right? Again, a lot of people don't want to lose those low rates. Right now, there's a stat that's floating around. There's about 76% of homeowners have mortgages under 4%. Let me say that again. 76% of the folks who have mortgages today have rates under 4%. If you have a mortgage right now, type in chat, what's your current rate? Let's see. Type in chat, what's your current rate? If you are a homeowner, type in chat, what's your current rate? All right, I'm going to type mine in chat. I got a 2.375%. Good Lord. That's a great rate. Let me put MG on the board, right? 2.375%. Terica, you got 3.25. You got 4%, Michael, right? So we got a lot of low rates that are here just from the folks watching us right now, right? So you're talking about 76% of homeowners have these rates. If you are able to port that mortgage from one house to another, you might think about selling. Now, this is great. It helps, I think, a lot of people kind of move around, But there are, like anything, there's always drawback. There's always risk to this. Again, you always got to get requalified, right? It's not a get out of underwriting free card. You still got to qualify with income, DTI, appraisal, credit, reserves, whatever the guidelines are at that time. And you're still going to have to get a second mortgage because, again, if you owe $300,000 at 2.5% and you want to buy a $1 million house, only your $300,000 is portable. You got to get financing and funding for that $700,000, right? So now you're going to have to get a second mortgage. So that's where things can get probably a little bit complicated too. You have to get a HELOC. What if you don't qualify for a HELOC? So there's a lot of different factors in there that can make this kind of risky. But again, all things have to align if this is to come to place. Now, the big thing that I see that's going to impact portable mortgages in the U.S., and this is why it's not here right now, is first of all, Fannie Freddie guidelines. They will have to rewrite a lot of these guidelines. That could take years to implement. Now you also have, remember guys, in this, we have a securitized secondary backing system that we have here in the U.S. So the securitization, I'm trying to say that word right, securitization doesn't support portable loans. So folks who have existing mortgages, that securitization doesn't say anything about your loan could be portable. So how would they go about making that supportable, right? And when loans are packaged up and sold, they're sold into pools. Investors are buying these pools because they're backed against certain type of collateral as well. So there's a lot of things to take in place. Again, the U.S. mortgage system is built on these things, right? Fixed notes plus deeds, securitized pools. We have trading standards, fixed collateral. There's a lot of things that happens when investors buy mortgage-backed securities. Everybody type in chat, MBS. Now, if you've been on my channel, you've probably heard me talk about treasuries and mortgage-backed securities and MBSs and things of that nature, right? There's a lot that comes into place with that as well. So how would they do this shit, right? Like how would they do this? Like as the more and more I talk about this and more I think about it, it's like just to see how complex mortgage-backed securities are and that whole secondary market. I don't know how they could even do portable mortgages in the U.S., just the way the system has been running forever. Not forever, but for decades, right? So GSE selling guidelines, servicing rule books, investor contracts, pooling the service agreements, MBS restructuring. It's a massive, massive, massive structural risk that could take decades to do. Who knows, right? Now, they haven't said that this is a guarantee. The FHFA's director publicly said they just are exploring this. I like assumable mortgages for conventional. Portable mortgages could be good, but I think it's a lot of politics as usual involved in that. But there's no promise. There's no timeline. There's no official rule book on this yet. It's just in an evaluation stage. No lenders, no banks. Fannie, Freddie, there's no rollout date. There's no new guidelines. It's just a tweet, a couple articles that came out today, but I thought it was important for me to cover this for you guys. so you are fully aware and in the know of what's happening in the real estate place, because these things are important to know about. And especially if you are a real estate professional, if you're a realtor, a loan officer, type it in chat and what city you are servicing, right? It's important for us to know this information, to stay in the loop of what's happening, but also at the same time, don't dwell on this too much, because you can only control what you can control at the end of the day. And this goes for home buyers, investors, real estate professionals. Don't focus too much. Don't focus too much on this. Learn it, understand it, know what's happening, stay in the loop, stay informed, stay educated. So that way, when things are moving left to right, you know exactly how to maneuver. Now, we got to look at several things. When you start hearing things like this, especially with the GSEs, Fannie and Freddie talking about they're going to go public. You know, Epstein's emails have been released today. I mean, there's a lot going on in the world right now. So you got to stay locked in. You got to read past the headlines a little bit. I ain't going to get too much into it because it ain't my business to talk about a lot of stuff right now. Because I don't have all the information, but you got to learn how to maneuver through this, man. You got to know how to, especially if you are a licensed professional, realtors, and shout out, we got a Hamptons Road loan officer in the building. Shout out to all my NMLS gang, right? To all my NMLS gang, right? We got to know how to maneuver. We got to have these educated conversations. We got to be able to kind of reel our buyers in. And if you're a homeowner, you're an investor, you need to stay in the loop of this. If Fannie Freddie goes public, this is also always good information to know, just in case you want to invest into that stock too, right? Good information. So what's your thoughts? Y'all let me know your thoughts in the comments, man. What you think about this? Assumable versus portable mortgage. Do you think if Trump administration does come out with either or, do you think this will unlock inventory? Do you think this will have some of those folks who are sitting on sub 4% rates now want to go out here and sell property and move into other property? Do you think this will make more buyers come into the market? What's your thoughts, man? I think assumable mortgage, me personally, I think assumable mortgages could be good for conventional mortgages for sure, because FHA is already doing it. So why not conventional? Portable mortgages, I don't know about that one too much. I think it's just too much red tape behind a portable mortgage. Just me personally. Okay. So that's that. So let's talk about something else. Let's move on to, let me get a couple of your comments first. Assumable, yes, if you have the cash to cover the difference. Assumable, yes, if you have cash to cover the difference. I agree. Let me go here. I want to bring up something that I kind of spoke about the other day on my channel. Let me see. How do I go to my profile? Let's see. Home. How do I go on my profile? So the other day, let's share my screen. All right. So we got the 20-minute mark. I want to go to a different topic real quick, right? I want to go to a different topic. Let's talk about, I put this post out the other day, and I'm going to share my screen right now so you guys can see it real quick. Boom. Type in chat screen if you see my screen. Type in chat screen if you see my screen. Type in chat screen if you see my screen. So the other day, what's today? Today is Wednesday. So I think this was Monday I did this. I don't even know. It was a day ago, this says right here. So about a day ago, I put out a post, and basically saying that I'm removing the taxes and insurance from my mortgage payment immediately, but will still pay the monthly escrow payment into a high yield savings account and earn my own interest. What's the best banks offering the highest APY currently? All right. So I put this out, and let me read my disclaimer. Only remove escrow if you are disciplined to make escrow payments to yourself, save the money, and not spend it. So this drew up a lot of conversation, a lot of comments. Over 1,000 likes were on this and one day, and then we had a bunch of comments of people just putting a whole bunch of banks in the comments. I mean, we got a couple of Sophie, Public. I mean, there was just people saying they just did this. We got people talking about U.S. Alliance Credit Union. I mean, go to my Instagram page, MG the Mortgage Guy. There's a ton of banks in the comments. And I kind of did this for everybody to kind of see, like, all the banks and everything like that. Not just always, you know, it's good to have participation. That's why I'm always saying type something in chat, this, that, and the third, because especially a post like this, I could have just listed in the comments, hey, here's five banks or something like that that I researched so far. But I wanted to get it from you guys. But I knew it will also draw people to have their own opinions and start saying things that they're doing, because I want you guys to be inspired and motivated and also see what people like yourself are doing, not just people like myself who sit behind the cameras and shit like that, that you get information from. Like, look at the audience, right? It's always good to network the people. I always say this, like, when you're inside of certain rooms, you got to network, right? Also in the comments is a good networking way, then sliding people DMs too at the same time. So there was a lot of good information in the comments of various different banks that are offering high yield savings. People were talking about money markets and things like that. So let me go through a couple things first and foremost, right? Let me remove this from the screen real quick. First of all, let me get back on the screen. Where am I? Okay. So for me, first things first, for me, again, I don't know about y'all, but I'm sick of seeing my escrow analysis and seeing that my mortgage payment is increasing because either my taxes or my insurance is increasing. And that just happened to me again. And me personally, my mortgages are on auto pay. I really don't pay too much attention to the websites. Everything is digital. I don't get paper mail. Right. And unless I am in the website itself, I'm really not paying attention to the account on a regular basis, unless I need to go in there for whatever particular reason. Right. And sometimes the emails, truth be told, I get hundreds of emails on a daily basis. I can't keep up with this shit, just like most people. So you might miss your escrow analysis. You might miss certain things because it's just a lot happening. So for me, when I see the escrow analysis and I see that my payment is going up, not by much, right? My escrow was short by $800. So it would increase my payment, I don't know, 60, 70 bucks. But it was the principal to me, right? It was the principal. It's like, damn, this thing just keeps going up. I'm actually sick of this. But it got me to think, like, wait a minute, why am I continuing paying my escrow in my mortgage payment for? I really don't need to. Now, first of all, if you have an FHA mortgage, you cannot remove your escrow. If you have an FHA mortgage, you cannot remove your escrow. If you have a conventional mortgage, you can remove your escrow. Type in chat what kind of mortgage you have. So I said to myself, you know what? Let me go to this damn bank's website and let me check out my mortgage statement, my escrow analysis, and let me see what's really happening here. And I said to myself, as I'm looking on this, they had a tab that said remove your escrow. And I said, oh, perfect, because I was looking for this. I need to remove my damn escrow. That's the whole purpose of me coming to this damn website. So I hit the escrow, remove my escrow, and it said, it gave me a message. The message said, you are unable to remove your escrow because you are at 81% LTV. And I said, wait a minute, that can't be right, because I know I have well a lot more than 20% equity in this house. So I couldn't remove it on the website, but I said, you know what? 81% LTV, I know they're probably going off the original sales price of the property, not even the appraised value at that time, because my house appraised more than what I purchased it for. But I said, they're probably going off the original sales price of 4 or 5 years ago. I said, okay, I'm definitely removing this shit now because they don't need no control of it. So today, I wound up calling the bank and I said, look, I don't know what valuation you guys are using, but I need to remove this escrow ASAP. So they said, okay, yes, they confirmed my theory of that they were using my sales price from when I purchased the house several years ago. And they proceeded to tell me, okay, if I wanted to use an updated value, I just have to send them an updated appraisal. And there will be no fee. And once they receive the appraisal and they confirm the valuation, then it takes 30 days for them to remove my escrow from my mortgage payment. I said, say less. Say less. I called up the appraisers that I know. I said, who's available? I'm going to spend a couple hundred dollars on an independent appraisal. And I'll have the report in a week or so. And I'm going to ship it to them, email it to them, however they want it. And then in 30 days after that, so I'm thinking probably top of the year, I won't have no escrow payment. Perfect. I can pay my escrow on my own in 2026. So that was the beginning of this text, of this thread that I put. I put it on Instagram. I just shared the screen. For those of you who are just coming in here right now, I'm going to put it back on the screen real quick so you can see it. This was on my Instagram page, MG the Mortgage Guy. And I'm removing my tax and insurance with my mortgage payment immediately, but I will still pay my monthly escrow into a high yield savings account and earn my own interest. And I'm asking what's the best banks offering the highest APY currently, right? So there's a lot of banks in this comment section. So go to my Instagram page, MG the Mortgage Guy, if you want to get a list of different banks that are offering different percentage rates right now. Right. And yes, I am on a roll. I'm back. I'm back. So that was step one. Right. So for those of you who have equity, who've purchased their home in the past couple years, you have a conventional mortgage. And if you are disciplined, disclaimer, I'm not telling you to do this. I'm not advising anyone to doing this. I'm simply sharing my journey and my story. I'm telling you, if you are disciplined, you should look into this for yourself and make an educated decision if you want to manage your own taxes and insurance by paying it on your own. Different strokes for different folks, ladies and gentlemen, but you got to be disciplined and you got to not spend the money. So once my, and now I haven't decided which bank and which account I'm going to use for my escrow yet. I don't know if it's going to be a money market account. I don't know if it's going to be a high yield savings account. I don't know if I'm going to put it just into the stock market. I don't know. I got to have conversations with my tax people to see what the tax implications will be and which route will be the best way to go, because you got to have a strategy. You got to have a strategy for everything, ladies and gentlemen. You got to have a strategy for everything. And I have people that I can talk to, thank God, and who can give me game and give me guidance and let me know a strategy, right? So what I'm going to do, either which way, every single month, and my escrow is expensive. My mortgage payment, you know, it's not a small mortgage payment. And my escrow is not, I live in Long Island, New York. So I'm well over, my escrow, fuck it, it's $30,000 a year, right? I live in Long Island. So it's not, that's not uncommon. So for me, I'm looking at, I got $30,000 a year in escrow. No, it's like $31,000. Now that I do the math in my head, it's like $31,000 in escrow. I'm like, damn, that's 30 in my taxes. You know, you got taxes every quarter, basically, and insurance once a year, right? So I'm looking at this as like, why in God's green earth am I letting my insurance money sit in there for a whole year? For what? Now, the quarterly taxes thing, why am I letting my money sit there too? I can pay this shit on my own. Even like, so I'm going to figure out what's the best way I'm going to put this money. Maybe I'm going to just put the insurance money in the money market or something. I don't know, right? I got to figure this out. And I haven't gotten that far yet. And I'm going to be honest with you guys, because I just had this epiphany 2 days ago when I saw an email and I saw my escrow analysis and made my mortgage payment go, and it pissed me off. And then it just said, why am I even letting them control this? I just pay the shit on my own, right? So that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. I'm snatching my money back from the bank, and whatever I decide to do with it, I'm going to put this money into an interest-bearing account. I don't give a damn if it's 4 or 5%, right? I don't care. Because if it's $31,000, let's just say at 4%, that's $1,240 a year. I want my money. I got a baby. I got a baby. I got four kids. And I got a newborn. $1,240. And if it's at 5%, that's $1,500. I need every penny. And if I do this $31,000 right, it could probably make 10%. You know what I'm saying? So like, that's like what I'm thinking, my thought process. It gives me more flexibility. It's also risky. I'm a risk taker though. Full disclosure. I love taking calculated risk. And this is just not for everybody. This is just not for everybody. I want to be very clear. This is strictly for live men and women, not for freshmen. Don't do this if you ain't disciplined. Because again, my mortgage payment is still going to get paid. That monthly nut that I'm accustomed playing with the escrow, I'm still in my head paying that money. It's just half of that now is going to go to the mortgage company, which is going to take care of my principal and interest. And then the other half is going to go to me into some sort of MG escrow account. And that's what I'm going to name the account once I open it. It's going to be called MG Escrow. You know what I'm saying? That's the nickname. So I know this money is dedicated for that. So again, if you have an FHA mortgage and you're just tuning into me right now, you cannot remove your escrow. If you have a conventional mortgage and you have 20% of equity, you can remove your escrow. You can control it on your own. Come up with a plan that works for you and your family. Don't fucking risk it, because remember, taxes are first lien on your property. And if you don't pay your property taxes and you get too many years behind, they will foreclose on you and take your house. Let me repeat that for those of you in the back. Taxes, property taxes are first lien on your property. If you do not pay your property taxes, the town you live in, they can foreclose, take your property, and that's that. Now, the bank probably won't allow that to happen because they will lose their investment and they will just pay the damn taxes and make you escrow. Okay. But again, if you are disciplined, you can save, you can invest, you have good habits of doing so, then this might be something that could work for you. If you are not someone who can trust yourself with money, if it's going to burn a hole in your pocket, if you think you're going to go to the hookah lounge or the strip club or on vacation with that money because it looks like extra money in your pocket every single month, please don't try this. Please don't do this. Leave it set up the way it is, and you don't wait. That way you don't have to worry about your house going into foreclosure. Me personally, I'm going to do this. I'm already in the process. I'm getting this done because I don't need them to pay my escrow. I just don't. For what reason? Let it be gone. What else I want to say about this? Oh, here's another thing I wanted to say. And I'm glad I got a little bit of notes here. Here's another thing I want to say to you. Just because you remove the escrow from your mortgage payment, it doesn't decrease your debt to income ratio. Just because you remove the escrow from your mortgage payment, it does not decrease your debt to income ratio. Meaning if you try to go buy another property, your taxes and insurance from this property will still be included into your DTI. Are you following? Type following in chat, please. Okay. So that's my, it's good to know. Yeah, that's why I brought that up. Y'all got any questions on this particular topic? I thought, you know, it was very important that I give a little bit more detail on this topic because, you know, sometimes people just see a tweet or a thread and they're just like, oh, you should give all the I was going back and forth with somebody on threads about this. Like, you shouldn't be giving people this advice and this, that, and the third. Like, sir, I'm not giving nobody shit. I didn't tell you to go do this. I just said what I'm doing and somebody give me some referrals for some banks. You know what I'm saying? Like, and VA and FHA, I would assume VA is the same as FHA because it's, you know, it's a VA loan. So I'm going to assume that VA, you cannot remove your escrow. I don't know 100%, but I'm going to assume that it's the same thing. Okay. Good question. My love, Tiff. Good question, my love, Tiff. And if y'all see me keep looking this way, it's because I'm looking at my other screen over here, because sometimes it's easier for me to look here than it is right there. Okay. Good information so far, right? Put a gem in the comment if you thought so far today's programming was some good information that you learned something, right? And also some breaking news as we are here. Shout out to all the government workers. The House just passed a bill to end the historic government shutdown after 43 years, which is good. Now it's heading to President Donald Trump, who's expected to sign it tonight. All right, so we got three full-year appropriations bill to fund the Department of Agriculture and Military Construction and Veterans Affairs through September 2026. It also temporarily extends government funding through January 2026. Okay, we're about to have some some more shit coming in January. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. You got to love it. Yes, I'm going back to work to earn on income. This shutdown was the worst, man. Shout out to all my government employees, man. If this doesn't teach us one thing, and shout out to everybody throwing them gems in the comment, man. I appreciate y'all always tapping in with me. And make sure y'all download Rants and Gems on all podcast audio outlets as well. Give us a 5-star review if you love the information here. There was something I saw. What's this right here? I love the price of property taxes in Central Alabama. My vacant lots are $80 a year. My two rentals are $620 a year. Shout out to Alabama with the low property tax. I would love that too. I would love that too. Look, man, this government shutdown was so ghetto. Look, if this doesn't teach us one thing, we got to get more money in our lives. We got to get more money in our lives, man. We got to make more money, especially on my government people, man. We got to invest. We got to invest. We got to invest them coins that you're making. You got to put it into real estate. You got to put it into the market. Because these shutdowns, these layoffs, this is, man, ain't nothing promising, ain't nothing guaranteed. We got to create our own ways out here, 100%. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, these folks are going to do what these folks do. These folks are going to do what these folks do. So ultimately, if you ain't sitting out here creating your own movement, creating your own motion, if you're not out here moving and shaking, buying real estate, even if you buy one property a year, one property every 18 months, man, go out here and buy something. Go out here and buy something. Buckle down. Do what it is that you have to do. I had this conversation today. A shout out to Kiana Watson, shout out to Watch Realty Co. I had a training with them tonight, and it was about 40 agents on there. And I love training, talking to my agents, man. And look, we all have intellectual property. You know, you see me here, it's 9:45. I got a newborn. I got three kids. Like, I'm just out here just doing what I have to do. And there's something I want to put out there, right? This is what we all need. And I want y'all to type this in chat. We all, since this is real estate, and I always talk about DSCR loans, right? Debt service coverage ratio. Let's put a little twist on DSCR. Everybody type in chat DSCR. Everybody type in chat DSCR. Because DSCR is what we need in our everyday life. D stands for discipline. We all need discipline. Myself included. Without discipline, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to happen for you. You can be motivated one day, that shit fades. It's in and out. But that discipline is what's going to keep you going, right? That S stands for systems. You got to have some sort of system in your life to manage through everything that you're doing, right? Time management systems. You got to have systems with your kids. You got to have systems with your lover. You got to have systems with your business. You got to have systems with everything to make sure that you are not missing the mark on nothing. Right? So we need discipline. We need systems. That C stands for consistency. If we are not consistent with our actions, with our motion, then why even start? There's oftentimes, and look, and I'm just speaking for myself included. There's oftentimes I start things and I stop. I start things, I stop. This is why my weight fluctuates. This is why my content fluctuates, right? Because I lack the discipline and the consistency to keep going. But I said to myself, I said, you know what? I can't, there's no more excuses. There's no reason why I can't take 1 to 2 hours out of my day, use my discipline, use the systems that I have, be consistent, and then last but not least, the results that I want will come. See, we all want to make more money, but we lack discipline, we lack systems, and we lack consistency. We all want to start that business. We all want to invest in real estate. We all want to invest in the stock market, but we are lacking the discipline, the systems, and the consistency to get us the results that we really, really, truly, honestly want. And, you know, somebody said in the comments, forgive me, I can't even find your comment, but you say, yo, in the last 2-3 weeks, yo, you turning up. That's because, and it's really been for the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks since my daughter's 4 weeks now. So probably 2 weeks before she was born, I really just said, you know what the fuck am I doing? I said, what the hell am I doing? God's given me all this opportunity in my life. All these doors, all these opportunities. Every day is an opportunity that I wake up. But why am I not going 10 times harder? And that doesn't mean I ain't getting no sleep. You know, I'm working 15, 20 hours a day. Nah. It don't mean none of that. Right? It don't mean none of that. It means for the times that I'm allocating for certain things, for my businesses, for my family, for my children, for everything, I need to have discipline, systems, consistency, and results. And in the past couple of weeks, everybody type that in chat. Discipline, systems, consistency, results. Type it in chat. DSCR. This is the model that we all need. This is our breakthrough. This is how each and every one of you who've been tapping in with me over the last 6 weeks here on this channel, you know, we have a couple thousand new people subscribed, right? More people are watching the channel. More people are watching the information. More people are learning. More people are reaching out to get pre-approved. More people are joining our coaching programs. More people are doing the things that they need to do to take them to that next level. But guys, all of this means nothing if we don't have DSCR in our life. If we don't have discipline, systems, consistency, we won't get the results that we want. So I want everybody to really tonight think about that. Your discipline, your systems, and how consistent you are. And ask yourself, if you are disciplined, if you have systems, and if you are consistent, can you get the results that you really, truly desire in your life? And the answer is hell yeah. Because God woke us up today, so there's no reason why we can't do it. We just need DSCR, yo. Discipline, system, consistency, and you'll get the results. Discipline, systems, consistency, and results. That's it, y'all. That's how we're going into our 2026. That's our DSCR, y'all. That's how we make 2026 the best financial year, the best year with our family, the best year in our business, the best spouse or lover or partner you can be, the best co-parent you can be, right? Is discipline, systems, consistency, and we will get those results. So type DSCR in chat, or type discipline, systems, consistency, and results in chat. This is the way for 2026, y'all. This is what we all about. We're not taking no losses. all the losses turn into lessons, and then within those lessons, we're going to find a blessing out of that. We're going into 2026 on a whole new level, y'all. A whole new level, a whole new mindset. We rebranding ourselves. We rebranding our mindset. This is why I'm rebranding everything I'm doing. If y'all don't notice, you can see Rants and Gems now. I have new branding. Just even what all my platforms. Like, I'm rebranding my life right now. I'm creating new systems. I'm waking up that discipline. I'm being more consistent than I ever been in my life because I'm taking the results that I want to see. I'm not waiting for them. I'm taking what's mine. Because there ain't no losses. It's only lessons. And I'm taking what's mine. And everybody who's watching this right now, we have that opportunity to take what's ours. We can't depend on these government jobs. We can't depend on these corporate jobs. We can't depend on anybody to feed our family but ourselves. We got to use these government jobs, and we got to use these corporate jobs, and we got to use all these things to our advantage, right? We have to use them to make us better. As we're getting paid training in most of these things, take that information, and how do you use it for yourself? How do you scale yourself? How do you grow your investment portfolio? How do you grow your real estate portfolio? How do you grow and own businesses? How do you reach your freedom point? You reach your freedom point by having DSCR, discipline, systems, consistency, and results. Download Rants and Gems on all podcast audio outlets. Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700. But I'm better known as MG the Mortgage Guy. I check in with y'all tomorrow. Peace.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.